Good morning. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's good to see you all. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let's bow our heads and hearts before him. Our Father and our God, again, we do come before you asking that the Spirit would fill us, that we might worship in spirit and truth. If he does not accomplish that in us, then we cannot worship you in a manner that's acceptable in your sight. So fill us. May he who has made his home within us fill our minds and our hearts and enable us to hear you as you speak to us. You've already spoken to us. In the apostolic greeting, in the call to worship, you'll speak to us a number of other times through this morning, and then there will be times that we will speak to you. In this dialogue between our Father and his children, may the Spirit enable us to hear you and to speak to you appropriately. And may the consequence result in two things. First, that Jesus Christ is glorified, for he is worthy. It's because of him that we are here. And secondly, that we would grow in grace and become more like him. These things we beg of you in the name of the one who taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our Old Testament reading is found in the book of Leviticus chapter 14. I'm going to shorten the passage. I had intended to ask the elders to read it and didn't get around to doing that in time. And let me see where I need to end this then. I will read verses 1 through 9. I would encourage you to read. In fact, the laws of leprosy are chapters 13 and 14. And if you have time today, read both of those chapters. 13 is more about how it is discovered. 14 concerns what one was to do when one has been or thinks he has been cleansed. So we'll read just the first part, which is when you think you've been cleansed, how you're first supposed to approach the priest. Then Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, This shall be the law of the leper for the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought to the priest, and the priest shall go out of the camp, and the priest shall look. And indeed, if the leprosy is healed in the leper, then the priest shall command to take for him who is to be cleansed two living and clean birds, cedar wood, scarlet, and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it, the cedar wood and the scarlet and the hyssop, and dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle it seven times on him who is to be cleansed from the leprosy, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose in the open field. He who is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes, shave off all his hair, and wash himself in water that he may be clean. After that he shall come into the camp and shall stay outside his tent 7 days. But on the seventh day he shall shave all the hair off his head and his beard and his eyebrows, all his hair he shall shave off. He shall wash his clothes and wash his body in water, and he shall be clean. May God bless the reading of his word. We turn from the word of God to the Nicene Creed. The Council of Nicaea in 325. As an ancient summary of the Christian faith, and we'll confess this to our God who has revealed that faith to us. Christians, what do we believe? We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And we believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and we look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We will finish Mark chapter 1 this morning. Can you believe that? After, lo, these many, many weeks. Many, many weeks. Mark 1, verses 40 through 45. Let's hear God's inerrant word. Then a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." And Jesus, moved with compassion, put out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once. And he said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way. Show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them." But he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every quarter. May God bless the reading of his word. Let's go together before him in prayer. Our Father and our God, we give you thanks for your word and for the time we have to assemble together before you. We pray that you, your Spirit, will apply the word to every heart. Apply in the manner that that particular heart needs. That we would depart from here more like Christ than we were when we entered. And that if there are any here who have never trusted in Christ, this would be the day. They would know him and rejoice in what he has done for sinners like us. Father, protect those who protect us. This week we have seen the consequences of the Church of Christ in America abandoning the faith, and even those churches that haven't abandoned the faith having turned inward. The American church is not healthy, and the consequence is the American culture is extremely sick. Violence is spreading, and Americans are turning against Americans. We pray for those who have been hurt by the violence, regardless of who has done it. We pray that those who minister to those who wear uniforms would be mightily used by you to bring many to faith in Christ. And we pray that your churches might turn to you again, might seek your face again, that you would grant us repentance for our sins, individual, familial, and corporate, and that you would heal our land, The promise in 2 Chronicles is for Israel, and yet it is somewhat applicable here as well. For where the Church of Christ is strong and mighty, culture is healthy. And we pray that that might be achieved as the gospel goes out of our walls. And may it indeed go out of our walls. We ask this of you in Christ's name. Amen. We need a little bit of a background. Again, Leviticus 13 and 14 is some of the background material for this passage. When Jesus tells the leper in verse 44 to go to Moses, he commands him to follow what we did read in 14, the rest of 14, or the next section that we were going to read in 14, is that 8 days later he has to come back and offer sacrifices, sin sacrifices. Because, you see, leprosy is closely connected, but not always, but nevertheless closely connected with sin. For example, Moses' sister criticizes Moses because he marries a sub-Sahara African, an interracial marriage. And she's struck with leprosy. She's complaining that he has married a black woman and she's turned white as snow with leprosy. It's a curse because of her sin. Moses prays for her and she is healed. King Uzziah decides that since he is such a great and godly king, it's okay for him to offer sacrifices and to take on the office of a priest. And God strikes him with leprosy. They have to build him a special palace outside of Jerusalem. And while he's still king, his son ends up ruling in his name for decades as he has been cursed with leprosy. That does not mean, as Jesus points out, when there's a blind man and his disciples say, who sinned, him or his parents, that he should be blind from birth? And Jesus says, neither, but that God may be glorified. That does not mean that everyone struck with leprosy is struck with leprosy because of sin. But there is a close connection, and Leviticus makes that connection with a sin offering. The other thing we should notice about leprosy is that there are, if I recall correctly, only two healings of leprosy in the entire Old Testament. So that the rabbis said that to heal leprosy is as difficult as it is to raise the dead. And there aren't many resurrections from the dead in the Old Testament either. Both of those are extremely important as backgrounds for what we read in the Gospels for what Jesus does. He heals lepers. And he raises the dead. The particular term is evidently much broader than the particular disease that we today refer to as leprosy, which is caused by some kind of bacteria. It may have included things like psoriasis. What was the stuff that Steve Rarick had? That wasn't psoriasis. He had some kind of nasty skin disease. My good friend Kenny Sanders, who served in Vietnam, came back with a skin disease from that wonderful country that to this day he still has to deal with. And all the modern medicines we have in America can't eradicate it. So it's a broader description than that particular disease, and yet that disease would be part of leprosy. The other cross references you might want to look for this story, because Luke and Matthew give a little bit different perspective. We're going to look at Mark, because that's what we're going through. Combining is sometimes helpful, but it's also sometimes diverts you from how the Holy Spirit inspires Mark to tell the story. But if you want to read Luke 5, 12 to 15, and later Matthew 8, 2 to 4, those are the other parallel passages. Evidently, the leper has heard of what Jesus did in Capernaum. Jesus has told his disciples, let's leave Capernaum so that we can go to other places and take the gospel. He's already outside of town. We do not know from the context if this is outside of Capernaum, in another town, in between towns. By the way, lepers were permitted to come to synagogues, but there had to be special screens erected for them to be in a different part of the building. And again, maybe it also referred to certain other conditions as well. But we don't know the context, the geographical context or the time context. But we do know this. A leper comes to him, begging him. Beseeching is the word that's found in the Old King James and my beloved New American Standard. Here it's imploring, which I think, if I remember correctly, is the word used in the ESV. He's also kneeling down before him. It's in a position of worship. And half of what he says to Jesus acknowledges that he understands that Jesus has the power. You can make me clean. The only doubt he has, and that's why he's begging, is, are you willing? Now, sorry, the story and my medical experiences left me kind of weepy this week. We need to understand this is a physical disease, but it is connected with sin, and leprosy is a biblical image of what is true of every son of, and daughter of Adam and Eve. We are all lepers. The word cleanse or clean, we use the word catharsis. That's that Greek word brought into English. That is used also for cleansing from sin and our regeneration. So I can't help but read this story knowing that Roy is a leper. If you're willing and pleading that he is, you can make me clean. Now I have to divert for just a moment. As I recall, the New American Standard, the ESV, I know the Old King James and New King James all have moved with compassion. If I'm wrong, you can correct me later, but that's my recollection from this week. I did not check the NIV. But the interesting thing is in the critical commentaries, the scientific commentaries, they all note that in a handful of Greek manuscripts, it says that Jesus is moved with anger. He's furious. And then they all speculate on why it says that. And they all assume that it's correct because, and this is one of the rules for textual criticism, it's not phrased this way in the books, but this is the way it works. Whichever reading makes no sense is the original sense. There are dozens of references in Mark alone of Jesus being moved with compassion, not always with the same verbiage, but always the same description. And if you want to, you can then ransack Matthew, Luke, and John to find even more examples. Rarely is Jesus moved with anger. The overwhelming textual tradition is what we have in these English Bibles. And I find it interesting that the New American and ESV, if my memory is correct, they usually follow the critical text, but they don't here. If I remember correctly, they also say that Jesus is moved with compassion. His bowels are in an uproar. Because we get feelings here. We feel them. We said some time back, I was not quite correct. Jesus does not always heal with a touch, but most of the time he heals with a touch. For him to touch this leper makes Jesus ceremonially unclean. And, if it were me or you, makes it possible for him to contract the disease. That's why it is so startling to read that Jesus puts out his hand and touches him. Even before the words come out of his mouth, the actions are the fulfillment of the leper's prayer. And the words just confirm I am willing. Be cleansed. Now, the difference in these two verses between this leper and those of us who've been cleansed from the leprosy of sin is we don't go to him until he's first brought us to himself. Nevertheless, the work of the Holy Spirit still brings us at some point with the evangelical gifts of repentance and faith that we do in some manner, in some way, ask to be cleansed. If you're willing. And our God, in his incarnation, says, oh yeah, I'm willing. Be cleansed. The leper, we're told in verse 43, as soon as Jesus had spoken, Mark loves this word immediately, at least in the New King James translation. He loves that word. He uses it over and over again, but here he piles up with another phrase. As soon as he had spoken, immediately. The leprosy's gone. Not just the disease, but all the disfigurations. In other words, if we're going to continue the idea of leprosy as sin, in a sense, it's not just justification, it's instant sanctification. Now, that's not what happens to us, unfortunately, is it? We have been cleansed. We are justified. We are clothed with Christ's righteousness. And yet the sin, the disease of sin, still remains in us. We still sin. We still have scars from our sins and the sins of others. But praise the Lord, there will be a day when all of that will be eradicated. But here, it's a physical disease. And the physical disease and the consequences of the physical disease are immediately gone. And so Jesus, New King James says, strictly warns him. Another translation, I don't remember which one, said, solemnly warns him. And more accurate reading might be, sternly warns him. The word seems to be, I don't remember the term for it now, words that, for example, a horse's neigh. That word is supposed to try to replicate the sound of a horse. In fact, this particular sound is to connect it with horses, kind of a horse's snort of disgust. And some suggest that it may be that strong because Jesus knows he's not going to keep the word. But he strictly warns him and sends him away at once. And the warning and the sending away is then amplified in verse 44. See that you say nothing to anyone. Or in not so good English, tell nobody nothing. And of course, well, we'll get there, but exactly the opposite happens. Go your way, show yourself to the priest. Now, this would have meant at this point in time, go to your town, because the priests were scattered throughout Israel, as they're supposed to be. Go to the priest and show yourself. That's when the things with the birds would have taken place outside the camp. And then 8 days later, he's to show up in Jerusalem to offer the sacrifices. And the passage we didn't read talked about the sacrifices. And then after that, it talks about if he's a poor man, what kind of sacrifice he needs to bring. Which means this guy was to immediately book it home, find the priest in his particular village or the closest village that had a priest, present himself, obviously cleansed. The ceremony with the turtle doves or the clean birds to be taken place, and then head to Jerusalem with his sacrifices and tell no one. Now, the interesting thing is this. Look at this. Don't pass over this in verse 44. Two things. Offer your cleansing those things which Moses commanded. Some think that Jesus rejects the Old Testament law. No, he said he came to fulfill it. He condemned anyone who rejected the law or sought to change the law. Moses, Jesus supported the law because he's the one who gave it to Moses. It's his law. But don't miss those last couple words. As a testimony to them. Because remember, the rabbis said that to cure leprosy was as hard as raising someone from the dead. And here's a cured leper. And Jesus did it. This is a validation of his preaching. It's a validation of what he, who he claims to be and what he teaches. And so, therefore, this man's cleansing is a testimony to the priests, who are the ones who are eventually going to get him crucified. And as we know from John's gospel, they didn't pay any attention to the resurrection from the dead either. But when they found Lazarus is resurrected, well, we got to kill him too. Now here's the kind of interesting twist. He went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every quarter. I want us to look at the latter part first. Where was it that the disciples, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, where did they find Jesus the morning after this Monday morning after his work? In a deserted place, praying. What did he say to them? They want him to go back to Capernaum and practice church growth and build a really good organization. And Jesus says, no, we need to go to other towns to preach the gospel. Part of the reason why, it seems, from the context, why he tells people not to tell others is so that he can preach, because he has not come to be a miracle worker. He's come to bring the gospel. His working of miracles validates the gospel. And while he is compassionate and willing to do so, that's not his primary purpose. It is the proclamation of the good news and the spreading of the testimony and people flocking to him to get things from him, to get healings and so forth, interferes with his primary purpose. And so it's kind of ironic. He ends up having to be in the deserted places and people then come out to him. Again, not for the good news, but for free lunches and for healings. Here's the irony. Let me moisten. This one has been commanded to say no one, to say to no one anything, to say nothing to anyone. But he went out and began to proclaim it freely. You know what's ironic about that? In the last chapter of Mark, chapter 16, and verse 15, he says, go into all the world and preach the good news to every creature. That word preach and the word proclaim in verse 45 are the same Greek verb. This one is preaching, proclaiming the good news, in a sense. The good news that Jesus has healed him from leprosy, which prevents the proclamation of the good news that Jesus has come to seek and to save that which was lost, to bear the sins of his people. But he does what he's commanded not to do, and all too frequently, we don't do what we've been commanded to do. Because again, we were lepers. And he cleansed us. I suspect for many of us, it's a well-known observation that as Christians, the longer you're a Christian, the less likely you are to tell others. I suspect for most of us, it's something like, well, we kind of forget what it was like before. We kind of forget the radical change that happened in us. We're comfortable with our salvation. And it's kind of old news. I know when I became a believer, there were people who said, well, that's okay, you'll get over it. brothers and sisters, how could we ever get over this? Being disfigured, corrupted, rotting away with sin. And if you're willing, you can make me clean. And he made us clean. And he tells us to tell everybody. Let's bow our heads before him. Father, I rejoice in knowing the word as well as I do, and knowing that I have status before you as pure as Christ is. All of my sins have been transferred to him, and all of my sins were punished in full on him on the cross. I bear them no more. More than that, Christ kept the law perfectly for me. And so while my sins were transferred to him, his righteousness was transferred to me, and I stand before you with infinite righteousness. I thank you for that. But I'm still grieved that the experiential day-by-day walk of Roy Miller, and I'm sure my brothers and sisters as well, is I still sin. The sin, the leprous sin, is still within me, and it still breaks out. And yes, I can many times attribute that to when, for whatever reason, I'm not using the means of grace as I ought. But even when I am using the means of grace as I ought, I still sin. And I thank you that you are faithful, just, and righteous to cleanse me as I confess my sins. But I desire the cleansing like this leper had. I know it will happen someday, but I yearn for that day when the disease is gone. Not just the scars and disfigurement from the disease, but the disease is gone. Hasten the day. And until that day, may there at least be progress in my sanctification, in my becoming what I will be, sinless. Perfect, unable to sin. Achieve that in us. And give us again that realization of what great thing you have done for us. That like the leper, we want to tell the whole world that you were willing, that you were moved with compassion, and that you cleansed us. We beg this of you in Christ's precious name. Amen.